Good morning. I'm glad everyone could come out today. I want to tell you before the message starts that when Brother Steve was baptized, I'd asked him if he'd like to join the church, and he said he would. So Steve Minard is a new member of the church now. If you think of it after church, well, I'll shake hands with him and introduce yourself to him. I want to spend the next few weeks in the Old Testament. And there's quite a few characters in the Old Testament, and I'm glad that God's willing to use characters. And we're going to talk today about Gideon. Very familiar story. Anybody that's ever been to Sunday school very long has heard the story of Gideon. The text is out of Judges chapter 6, verses 11 through 16. And I'm bringing this out of the English Standard Version. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joaz the Abizrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "Please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?" And he said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man." Father, I thank you for your word, which is truth. I thank you for preserving these stories, Lord, of your covenant people Israel, and how you intervened in their history to help them. Help us to understand that you are still the same God of covenant today, and that you will intervene on behalf of your people today if we will call out upon you. I pray if there's any here today that don't know you, that this would be a day of salvation. If there are any that are cast down, that this would be a day of lifting up. And we want to be careful to give you all the praise and glory. I pray, Lord, that I might decrease, that you might increase as your word is brought. In Jesus' name, amen. It says in the first of the chapter, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight, so the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. In the book of Judges, it begins that after Joshua and the elders died, Israel forgot God, and they began to worship the gods of those nations that they didn't drive out. In Deuteronomy, God told them to utterly destroy the altars, the images, the people. God said, "I'll be with you, drive them out." Well, there was a few of them that they didn't drive out. And this was going to be a snare to them. And this is where we're at in this period of time. The Israelites had been delivered through Deborah, the prophetess, and a man named Barak. And they'd had 40 years of peace, but that's about the time of a generation, and the next generation started worshiping Baal. And so God handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. And I want you to visualize with me, if you will, three nations would come into Israel, into this territory, every year when it was time to harvest the crops. And it said their number was like the sand of the sea, and between them and their livestock, their horses, their cattle, their oxen, their sheep, it said they covered the ground like locusts. The soldiers would go through and they would pull up every bit of your harvest, everything you had worked for all spring and summer, and they would eat that themselves. Their animals would pasture on your flocks, pasture ground, and then their animals would sweep your animals up, and this happened every year for 7 years. And it said, Israel then cried out to God. God sent a prophet to him, and he said, I brought you out of Egypt. I delivered you from slavery. I gave this land to you. And I told you not to worship their gods, but God said you wouldn't listen. Now, Gideon asked a question at the beginning of this salutation that we all ask at times in our lives, if we'll be honest. He was hiding in a wine press, which is usually a pit. They could build it above ground or dig it below ground and line it with rocks, and the grapes were pressed to extract the juice. And Gideon was down in this hole in the ground, if you will, threshing wheat to hide it from the Midianites. It's hard to imagine what things were like at this time. The rest of the villages around there had went up into the mountains and cut out holes in the rock to live in. They lived in caves. They were so terrified of these people. These people were so cruel that they would go up in the mountains and stay until these people left. Then they would come back down. Their food was gone. Their crops was gone. Their livestock was gone. And God sent a prophet to them. It took them 7 years to finally get enough and to say, if you don't do something, we're going to die. They're slowly starving to death. And God sent a prophet, and he said, you didn't listen to me. But the very next scene, there's an angel of the Lord sitting under a tree. He just shows up. And it says, then he appears to Gideon while he's threshing wheat. And Gideon's trying to be quiet. He's trying to be unrecognizable. He's hiding because he's sifting this wheat out for them to eat. And my Bible says that God calls things that are not as though they were. And I noticed in the angel's greeting, he goes, ho, mighty man of valor. Now, that's a weird greeting to a farmer. But you know, when God looks at you and I, he sees what we don't see. And the neat thing to me about this is, I learn this over and over every time I read the Bible, God had a plan. So he sent his angel, and he said, you see that dude over there that's threshing wheat? Well, I know you can't see him. He's down that hole. But go over there, and he's threshing wheat. And I want you to tell him that I'm going to deliver Israel by his hand. God calls things that are not as though they were. When God looked at Gideon, when the angel of the Lord looked at Gideon, he saw a warrior hiding in a hole threshing wheat. That's not usually where you see warriors. You know. But here Gideon is. He's beating out this wheat. Probably going to make flour so they'll have some bread to eat. And the angel says, ho, mighty man of valor. And Gideon's probably looking around in the hole to see who he's talking to. I would. And I love his next statement. When I read this week, when I was going through this, I said, you know, Lord, I've asked this same question. And it wasn't accusatory. I don't think this statement Gideon made. It was an honest-to-goodness question. You see, they're in a covenant with God. The covenant of Sinai, the law. And Gideon looks at the angel and he said, sir, if the Lord's with us, why are we going through this? Where's the God that I heard of who brought our people out of Egypt and did all these wonderful miracles and drove his enemies out? He said, where is he? And if you'll be honest, if you've been a Christian very long, you've asked that question at least one time in your life. God, where are you? What are you doing? If I'm if I'm your child, I'd hate to see how you treated me if I was your enemy. God, give me something. Give me a sign. Jesus said, a wicked and adulterous generation seek for signs. And yet we still do that. Lord, give me something. Let me know that you're with me. And that's what Gideon says. He said, angel, look around. I'm thrashing wheat in a hole in the ground because if I don't, those bullies are going to come take it away from me. All of our people are living in the hills like wild animals. They're afraid to even go home until these guys leave town. Every year for the last 7 years, they come in, they pillage the land, they steal our livestock, and then they leave, and then we're forced to scrape through the winter trying to get enough food to get by on. And you dare say, God's with me? Where's he at? Now, where indeed? It kind of surprised me that Gideon asked that, because it's like, wait a minute, dude. What's going on in your town? They're worshiping Baal. And they have an Asherah beside the altar of Baal. Israel had reached a mentality, according to some of the historians I've read, that said they didn't completely quit worshiping God. But they said, God's our warrior God. Baal's our God of our sustenance. He's the one that gives us rain and causes the crops to grow and brings us food. And the worship of Baal was very physical. A lot of sexual sin involved. So the men especially liked it. And when I first read that, I thought, where are you coming from, Gideon? What do you mean, where is God? They broke the covenant. God had warned their fathers. He said, if you don't drive these people out, if you don't destroy these altars and you start worshiping their gods, this is my paraphrasation of the Hebrew, God said, I'm going to be on you like white on rice. He said, don't think that I'm going to drive these Canaanites out for these sins and I'm going to allow you to practice the same sins. God said, it ain't happening. He said, you start living like the Canaanites, I'm going to start treating you like the Canaanites. Now, is that to say that every time we're going through hard times, it's because we have sin in our lives? No. But we do well, church, to do as Paul says, examine ourselves. See whether you are in the faith. You know, you can't run around and live like the world and call yourself a Christian. Well, you can, but you're not being honest, all right? My Bible says, do not love the world or the things of the world. Whoever loves the world is an enemy of God. And Israel had changed gods. You know, we like this Baal thing. We like this Asherah thing. And we're kind of into this. And what did the Lord say? Well, then you can have everything that comes with it. Then God decides, you know, he's soft-hearted. And when I mean tender-hearted, merciful. And they cried out to him, and I know God looked at him and said, all right, I can't do this anymore. At least they've acknowledged me. He said, Gideon, I'm going to use you to deliver Israel out of the army. Out of this big army's hand. And Gideon goes, he goes, Lord, you can't use me. Not me. I am the smallest clan in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. You can't use me. How many times have you ever stood and told God he couldn't use you? You know, we can look at Gideon and go, hey, now God said he's going to use you. God's going to use you. It's a God thing, man. It's done. It's a done deal. God's already got a plan. Yeah, but Gideon didn't know what the plan was. In all fairness, the angel didn't come up and say, God's going to call you to do this and this and this, and then you're going to do that, and then this is going to happen, this is going to happen. He just said, hey, you're a mighty man of valor. He said, God's going to use you to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Midianites. Well, my question, Gideon, is, well, how come he just don't rain down fire like he did on Sodom and Gomorrah? Why do I have to be involved? You ever think about that? God, you could wipe this army out. What do you need me for? Because he's a covenant God. Israel's his covenant people. Now, the first thing he told Gideon to do, let me back up. Gideon asked the angel, he said, "So just so I'm sure it's God speaking to me, would you let me go home and get a gift and bring it back?" And the angel said, "Sure, I'll wait." And he cooks a kid, a young goat, makes unleavened cakes, and he takes the broth and the bread and the meat, and he brings them to the angel. The angel says, "Put them on that rock." And he put the meat and the bread there, and he said, "Now pour the broth over it." So he poured the broth over it. He said, the angel reached out with his staff, and he touched the rock, and fire consumed the food. And then all of a sudden, the angel was gone. Gideon said, "Oh, I'm in trouble." That's what he said. He said, "Oh, no. I have just seen the angel of God." And usually that wasn't a good thing when God would send his angel. And Gideon thought, "I'm going to die." And in fact, the tone, according to the translators, that Gideon uses, he says, "Please don't kill me, Lord." And the Lord said, "Gideon, I'm not going to hurt you. Peace." And it said, Gideon built an altar to God right there on the spot, and he named it, "God is my peace." Then God said, "Now there's one another thing you're going to have to do. Your dad has that altar to Baal in his yard, and I don't want it there. You destroy it. Cut down the Asherah, and then sacrifice a young bull to me." So it said Gideon was too afraid to do it during the daytime because he didn't know what his family would do and the men of the village. So at night he took 10 servants, he went up there, he pulled Baal's altar down, he cut down the Asherah, which was a wooden image, a goddess of fertility. The women had their gods and the men had theirs, you know. And he cuts it up and he builds an altar for the Lord. And I like what the angel said, "Build an altar to the Lord your God." He's your God, Gideon. Now, I don't know if Gideon's been worshiping Baal or not. The Bible doesn't tell me. But God's hand's on the man. "I'm going to use you, and I'm your God." That's that covenant relationship. So Gideon and his servants tear the altar down. They cut the Asherah pole up, and then they take the second bull. The translators really argued about this. It was a bull that they had fattened and had prepared for a sacrifice to Baal, and Gideon took that bull and sacrificed it to God. You see, in the law, that was a sin offering. Gideon made atonement for his father's house and for himself and for this village. He offered the blood of a bull, burned the whole body on the altar. That was a sin offering to God, and God goes, "Okay, now we're ready." Said the men got up the next morning, they saw that bull sacrificed on God's altar, and they said, "Whoever tore that altar down deserves to die." And they finally figured out it was Gideon, and Gideon's dad stepped in between him and them and said, "No, if Baal's a god, let him defend himself." So they left him alone. And I love this next text. It says, the Spirit of God clothed Gideon. Paul said, "Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ." Same word. It means wrap yourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ. Become so enmeshed, immersed in the Spirit of Christ. But that's who you become. That's who you're acting like. God wrapped him in that Holy Spirit. It said Gideon blew the trumpet. He called out four tribes. 32,000 men show up. Gideon's feeling pretty good about himself. 32,000. The enemies crossed the Jordan, and they were camped out in this valley north of where Gideon was. And we know there was 135,000 foot soldiers in that army. The Bible says the animals, the soldiers, everybody else covered the ground like sand. And Gideon said, "Lord, I got a test. Please, let me ask you. Make sure this is really you." He took a piece of fleece, sheepskin, and he laid it on the ground. And he said, "Would you let the dew just fall on that sheepskin in tomorrow morning and let the ground be dry?" And it was. And it said he wrung out the sheepskin, and there was a bowl full of water. And he said, "One more, God, don't be mad, but one more. Would you let the sheepskin be dry and let the ground be soaked with dew?" And it was so. And Gideon said, "All right, I'm ready to go." And God says, "Wait a minute. You got too many people, Gideon." "What? I got 32,000 fighting men against 135,000 fighting men, and that's too many? Every one of these men's going to have to kill at least four men." You know, to slim those odds down, God said, "No, if I let you win now, Israel's going to say we did it ourselves." Maybe that's why Paul said God chose the weak things of the world to put to shame the strong things. You know, it's not real flattering when Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and he said, "Consider what you were when you were called. Not many of you were noble. Not many were wise in this world standard. Not many of you were powerful, influential people." What are you saying, Paul? God chooses losers? Paul said, or God said, "Gideon, that's too many guys." He said, "Here's what I want you to do. Ask them, who's afraid? If you're afraid, you can go home." 22,000 men walked away. That's why, "Where are you going, you cowards?" And I said, they left. Gideon goes, "Well, 10,000 still, we got a chance." And God said, "No, 10,000 is too many." He said, "I want you to go down here by the river, and I'll give you a water test." He said, "Every man that laps water like a dog, set aside." Yeah, like a dog. The translators say what God said is, "Every man that gets on his knees, scoops up water, and licks it out of his hand, you set him aside." So they said there was 300 men that lapped water, and God said, "Those are the guys that's going with you." "Oh yeah, the lappers. They're going to write songs about this for years, you know." Can you imagine Gideon looking at God and saying, "Are you serious?" God said, "Yeah. Didn't I tell you I'm your God? Didn't I tell you that you would defeat Midian as one man?" "Yeah. But God, you done shaved my army down to 300. Those were God's special ops guys. Yeah, that's who they was. God said, "Those are my special ops. Those are the guys that are of the same mind as you, Gideon." Did you catch that 32,000 men showed up when he blew the trumpet? You know what that tells me? I'm speculating this. There were at least 32,000 men in Israel that weren't bound their knee to Baal. Because when Gideon blew the horn, it's a God war. That's how they announced, "This is a God war. We're going to fight for Yahweh." And 32,000 Jews showed up and said, "We're with you, buddy. Look at these odds. Well, if you're scared, go home." 22,000 of them split. Oh, that was probably the wrong thing for me to say. Now he's got 300. And the Lord says, "Tonight I'm going to give you that multitude." Gideon goes, "Okay." You know, 300 men, I don't know how you're going to do this. I wish you'd let me know, God. You know, and God, I love what the Lord does. He says, "You know what? I'm going to give them to you, but I'll tell you what I want you to do. You and your servant, Pura, go down to the camp tonight, and I want you to listen to what the men are talking about." So it says Gideon and Pura slip down to the outer parameters of the camp, and they're switching the watch. They figure this is about 10 o'clock at night. The guys that's been on sentry duty are going to bed, and the other guys are getting up to do sentry duty. And Gideon and Pura's by this tent, and this guy says, "Man, I had this dream. Let me tell you what happened." He said, "I dreamed this big roll of barley cake rolled off the hill, struck the tent of Midian, flipped it upside down, then the tent just collapsed." Now, barley was the poor man's bread. Okay? And it said his partner said, "This doesn't mean anything else except that God has given the camp of the Midianites into Gideon's hand." Now, how'd he know that? He wasn't even a Jew. I think God gave him the interpretation of the dream. And my Bible says Gideon worshipped. They said, the Hebrews said, literally he fell on his face right there and he worshipped. And boy, he was a little different when he come back to them 300. He said, "Let's go." He couldn't wait. "Come on, guys. God's going to deliver them into our hands." Well, he splits them into three companies. They each have a firebrand, which was like a wick, and it would smolder until it was exposed to oxygen. Then it would flare up. So he had these 300 guys light 300 firebrands, put them in their left hands with a pot over it, a clay pot, and trumpets in her right hand. Gideon said, "You do what I do. When I blow the trumpet and break my torch, you do the same." He said, "Then you're to shout a sword for the Lord and for Gideon." So they split their company. When Gideon sees that they're ready, he breaks that pot and that firebrand goes. And these Midianites hear these trumpets and these men shouting, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." And they see these 300 firebrands just flare up. And they're surrounded. Freaks them out. That's what the Hebrews said. Freaked them out. It said they went into a panic and they pulled their swords and began to kill one another. I'll tell you what they're doing. They're trying to cut through there to get out. "Don't be in my way. I done heard how this battle's going to end, and I'm getting out of here. And I'm going to cut up anyone that gets in my way." And Gideon and his men stand there, according to the scriptures, just stand there with their torches and watch 120,000 men kill each other. And then they take off running. Well, what's Gideon do? "Go get the rest of them guys. Let's chase them." Yeehaw. Don't you know them Jews, boy, they was hot to trot then. See, when Gideon sent them guys home, it just says they went back to their tents. That took some discipline on their part. When their commander, Gideon, said, "Now, you can't be involved in this till I tell you." And it said those Midianites took off. There's Midianites, Lamechites, yeah, and the people of the east. You know who they were. Amalekites. There it is. And Gideon took in after them. Well, the Ephraimites captured the Jordan, and they killed the two princes. And then they come to Gideon. They wanted to kill him. They said, "How dare you fight a fight and not call us?" And Gideon said, "Well, man, you killed the two princes. You did better than I did." So they said, "Oh, okay." And they fell in. And I love this. He comes to this city, Succoth. And he says to the elders, "Give me some bread to feed my troops. We're chasing the kings of Midian." And the elders said, "Well, are they in your hands that we should give you bread?" Another one of them rabble-rousers. "Go out there and get yourself killed, boy. I ain't going to support it." And it says, Gideon says, "All right, when I come back, I'm going to take briars, and I'm going to whip you." And it said when he came back, he captured the two kings, brought them back. He caught a young man from the city, and he said, "I want you to write down who the leaders are." And he wrote them down, 77. I love it. It says Gideon went in there and said, here's the two kings you asked me if I had them yet. Now I got them. It said, then he took briars and he taught them a lesson. I like that. He said, who's your daddy now? Yeah. Who's got them now? Wow. Does God still honor a covenant? Yeah. You know that He looks at each and every one of you in here that are His followers, and He sees you in a light you don't see yourself in. I think a lot of times He doesn't reveal it to us because we don't want to know. Think about it. What if Mansfield got overrun with an invading army and God said, I'm going to use you to wipe out this army. But you can only have this many people helping you. You know why God did it that way? He wanted Israel to understand it was Him that gave them the victory. You know why God does what He does in my life and in your life? He wants us to understand that it's all Him. It's all Jesus. All Jesus. Maybe you're going through some things now and you're outnumbered. Anytime you're in a spiritual war, I'm going to tell you something. You are outnumbered. You. I'm talking about apart from God. And there are people trying to fight spiritual battles apart from Jesus Christ, and you're going to get ate up. But the Scriptures say that there's an innumerable number of angels, and that they have been assigned to those who are heirs of salvation. We've had problems in this church, still got problems in this church. There is some spiritual darkness still in this church. And yeah, you can say I'm prophesying. And I have prayed and wept for 13 years. And God's wanting to move. And He's waiting on you to do it. He's waiting on me to do it. You don't want to know what we need to do? I'm going to tell you. We need to forget what's behind us. Leave the past in the past where it belongs. We need to be like Gideons and step up and say, yeah, Lord, I'm your guy. I'm your girl. There's a lot of work to be done right here in this town. And what scares us is we look and see this company that we can't defeat. The attitudes we can't defeat. Our kids are atheists. You know, they're coming out of school. They're evolutionists and atheists. How do you deal with that? Like you deal with every other kind of spiritual darkness, you bring the light of Jesus Christ. Church, it's time for this church. I'm not concerned with the other churches in town. I'm concerned with this church. Let's stand up and toe the mark and say, here we are, Lord. Use us. Root hog or die. Hey, if I die doing it, I'm just going to go be with the Lord. You know, I can't think of any better place to be. But let's quit being the world's foot mat. You know, we defeat ourselves. A lot of times, I'm sorry, we go in, well, if this isn't going to work, it never works. You know, well, what if Gideon would have said, well, God, that ain't going to work. There's no way 300 people is going to put this whole army to flight. God would have said, watch, Gideon. But I'm glad Gideon trusted him, aren't you? We have that story. I believe it is a true story. Abraham had 315 trained servants, the Bible says. He went after five kings because they kidnapped his nephew. Abraham said, that's McKin you're messing with there. I think if Lot hadn't been there, Abraham would have said, oh, well. You know, they weren't the most nice people that this army's carried off. Abraham, well, there goes the neighborhood. But it was one of his people that they took, and Abraham said, no, That ain't happening. Let's start winning ground again, church. I don't like what they're teaching our youth in school. Then step up and teach them different. Maybe you have to sacrifice a little of your vacation money. I don't know. You know, I don't have all the answers. But one thing I know is it's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to quit laying down and be walked on like a bunch of doormats. I am a covenant child of God. Jesus said, this is the blood of the new covenant. So I'm in a covenant with my God. And He has promised me that if I walk with Him, that He's got my back. He didn't tell me it was easy. He did not tell me it was easy. I have not read anywhere. I told the Lord, you don't make a very good recruitment poster. You know, hey, come follow me and your family might hate you. You'll lose all your friends, but I'll stay with you. Would you stand with me this morning? Be a Gideon. Be a Gideon. Obey the voice of the Lord. Do what He's calling you to do. And just keep on marching. Someday He'll come back and it's all going to get settled. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I'd invite you to come forward and I'll be glad to visit with you. Find one of the elders you want to talk to, anyone here, and ask them what it is to become a Christian. What does it mean to enter into that covenant with God? If you're here and you're fighting spiritual battles, and I know about everyone in here is, just understand something. It's not by might nor by power, but the Lord said, by my Spirit. Yeah, call on the name of the Lord. Say, this isn't my battle, it's your battle. And let Him defend you. And you're going to come out on top every single time. Would you come as we sing the song of invitation?
He is all I need.
Amen.
He is all I need. Jesus is all I need. He is all I need. He is all I need. Jesus is all
I hope that's your prayer this morning. That's what you truly believe. Dr. Mark will be teaching tonight on 1 Peter chapter 3, 6 o'clock, so come back if you can. I don't have any written request. Any you want to bring before the body, Donna? Jason goes in for surgery tomorrow, so be praying about that. Anyone else? Doc? Good. Good. Yeah, I keep praying about it, Elizabeth.
Just remember Gary Hager.
Yes. Was having some, fibrillation issues. Yeah, heart rate slowed down, everything. Be praying about that. Anything else? Doc, you have the closing prayer. Would you close for us, please?
Lord, we just thank You again today for the beautiful day, and we just thank You for so much for the message that Rick gave us this morning. Father, and also we want to thank our friend Gary and the hope that they find out what's wrong with his heart and get him fixed, and those others that need it also, Lord, in our family. And Lisa told me today that Hank is going to retire and he can't go to working anymore, and Lord, we just want You to be with him. And Father, we just pray for all those this week that we have a good work week, that we give what we have to Jesus Christ. Father, we just thank You so much for Your love for each and every one of us. Let's have a good week, and Father, we just thank You so much for what You can give us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God. will see how great